We start first by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanking Him and bearing witness that there is no deity but Him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon Him, His companions, His household, and whose followers to the Day of Judgment. Ameen. Today, inshallah, we're going to talk about very special surah of the Quran, which is Surah Qaf. How many of you have read Surah Qaf before? Did any one of you read Surah Qaf before? Okay. Surah Qaf is a special surah of the Quran. What is so special about Surah Qaf? What is so special about Surah Qaf that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, during a Friday khutbah, during the Friday khutbah, and during the Eid khutbah, all what he did, he stood up on the place that where he speaks, and then he started reciting the surah, as is from the Quran. And then once he finished reciting the surah, he called for the prayer. And he did not add any of his own words to this surah. So he considered that this surah has enough of a message and enough of an impact that there is no need for him to add any of his own words to the surah. So this is what is so special about this particular surah of the Holy Quran. Also, if we examine the surah from a rhythmic point of view, we find that the surah is highly rhythmic. The surah is highly rhythmic. Just like the Quran, the rest of the Quran, the rest of the Quran is also highly rhythmic. Rhythmic means it goes with very strong rhythm. And this particular surah has very special rhythm. What is the rhythm of the surah? That it ends, every verse ends with a word, and this word ends with a dal, the letter dal with sukoon. Now, according to the rules of tajweed, if we have a letter dal with sukoon, this gives the sound of the drum, the sound of the drum, or the sound of a hammer, like you're hammering something. Like, for example, if you have wa'id, shaheed, you know, majid, wareed, atid, qa'id. All these are words from the end of every ayah with the sound of qalqala. It's like the sound of a hammer or the sound of a drum. And you might wonder, how is this related to the meanings coming in the surah? The Quran is miraculous, which means that when you sing the Quran, the music that results out of the singing and the recitation is very compatible with the meanings and that are being described by these verses. For example, you know, have you ever watched a movie when there's a suspense? You get the music, boom, 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 boom. When there is, you know, something that is, for example, something romantic, you get, slow music, and things like that. They make the music go with the, whatever is being displayed, so that all fits together and do the maximum influence in the heart of the listener or the audience. You know, the Quran has been like that all the way, from the beginning to the end. That it has a certain recitation music that is miraculous. Choice of the words and the pronunciations and the music is very compatible with the meaning. In a way, it touches the heart. It touches the heart very much. And this is why when the Arabs, they used, you know the story when Prophet Muhammad used to pray all night with Quran and recite Quran. Abu Jahl, which was the biggest enemy of Prophet Muhammad, and two other leaders that were fighting Prophet Muhammad, they used to sneak to the door of Prophet Muhammad to listen to this strange recitation. And then one time, two of them came to listen at the same time. So they said to each other, "What are you doing here?" He said, "I came to catch you. What are you doing here?" You know, he said, no, actually, I'm the one who came to catch you. What are you doing here?" You know, and they said, "Okay, don't you ever come here again. These words are like magic. If you listen to them, they might, you know, you might change your religion and, deny your people, okay, and turn away and fight your own brothers and sisters and family who have another religion. So don't you do that," because they used to say black magic will make the person hate his own family and fight with his own family. So they considered Prophet Muhammad a magician a sorcerer who does a black magic, because he caused the family to split and fight together. So they used to call him this way. So they said, don't let Muhammad influence you with these words of magic. Okay? Don't listen to him. Okay? Tomorrow you don't come and listen. Okay, tomorrow I'm not coming again. Okay, I will never come again. And then they promise each other that they are not coming again to sneak and listen. And they go away. And then in the very next day, they both come. Why are you here? Oh, I came to catch you. To make sure that you're not coming to listen. No, actually, I'm the one who came here to make sure you're not coming to listen. And they keep repeating that. And Walid ibn al-Mughira one time, he went to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, Muhammad, what do you want? If you want to be a king, we can make you a king. If you want, you know, fame, we can make you the most famous. If you want money, we can make you the most rich. What do you want? He said, are you done, my uncle? He said, yes, I'm done. Then he recited to him Surah As-Sajda. And then at the end, he made the sajda, and then he continued, finished the surah. The sajda is the one we read in the first rak'ah in the Friday Fajr prayer. If you ever, that's the sunnah to read this surah on the first rak'ah in the Friday Fajr prayer. So when he did the sajda and then he stood, Walid was listening like this. And he was the most knowledgeable person about poetry and the language art, you know, the Arabic language art. And then after he listened to it, he stood up and he went back to his people like this. You know, so impressed about these words. And then when he arrived at the place where they gathered, they looked at him and they said, oh, we swear by Allah that Al-Walid face now is different than when he left. So something has happened. Muhammad has done something to influence him. So as soon as he entered, he said, إِنَّ لَكَلَامِ مُحَمَّدٍ لَحَلَاوَةٍ. The words of Muhammad has special sweetness. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْهَا لَطَلَاوَةٍ. And it is so attractive. وَإِنَّ أَعْلَاهُ لَمُثْمِرٍ. And it's fruitful from the top. وَإِنَّ أَسْفَلُهُ لَمُغْدِرٍ. And it is so generous from the bottom. Okay? And it is the best. وَإِنَّهُ يَعْلُ وَلَا يُعْلَى عَلَيْهُ وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ بَشَرٍ. And it is the best piece of art, of language art, that I have ever heard. I have never heard something better than that. And I think it's not made by human. So they told him, hold on. Why are you saying that? Do you know how dangerous are these things that you say? You know? So he thought, and the Quran in Surah Al-Mudathir described him like a video camera. In Surah Al-Mudathir, Allah described exactly how did he behave when they told him that. The Quran says, إِنَّهُ فَقَّرَ وَقَدَّرَ. So he kept thinking like this. It's like the Quran capturing what he does with a video camera. Why? Because at that point, he realized that Muhammad is a true messenger. But now, he doesn't want people to believe into that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing him. He is فَقَّرَ وَقَدَّرَ. He's thinking and making planning. ثُمَّ نَظَرَ. Then he looked like this. ثُمَّ عَبَسَ وَبَصَرَ. Like this. When you close, you make your eyes like this, thinking about a very important subject. A camera description of his facial expressions. ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ وَاسْتَقْبَرَ. Then he said, yes. You know, he turned it away from the message, and he felt too proud to bow down to the message and accept it. And then he said, these are the words of magic. Muhammad is a person who does black magic. And these are words of magic. These are not really words of human. These are words of magic. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, because of that, I am going to give him a place in hellfire called Saqar, which is the worst place in hellfire. And he is going to just go there as a punishment for him. Can you carry it? Okay. So, words of... Anyway, this surah has a special rhythmic music that comes with it. How is this music related to the subject of this surah? This music of the hammer or the drum. The surah talks about the people who deny the day of judgment. The people who say, after we die, this is the end. And there will be no other life. There will be no resurrection. There will be no day of judgment. There will be no accountability. And they reject that altogether. And they are finding it very hard to accept the fact that after we die and we disintegrate and our bodies are eaten by the earth And you will find that the surah is talking about disintegration in particular. We are coming to it. So after we die and we disintegrate and the earth will eat our body, there will be no other recollection where our bodies are going to be rebuilt again from after it is gone and disintegrated and the earth ate it. Our bodies are going to be, our cells are going to be called from earth and recollected again, so that we're even, like Allah says in the Surah Al-Qiyamah, the thumbprint will be regenerated, will be rebuilt. And this is a miracle. 1400 years ago, when Allah says, actually, you think that I will not be able to build your body again? Actually, I'm going to rebuild your thumbprints. Now, 1400 years ago, this doesn't really click with the people. Because, you know, what is so special about the thumbprints? But now, when we know that thumbprints are a form of identity, then you see the miracle where the Quran 1400 years ago, where Allah wanted to impress us by saying, he thinks that I'm not going to be able to build his body. No! I'll be regenerating and rebuilding his own thumbprints, one by one. They will all be rebuilt again. So, the very small detail of the thumbprint, which is a form of identity, will be built again. So, they are rejecting that completely and finding it very hard to believe. Well, Allah can't do that. This is can't happen. Why can't happen? When you say this is can't happen, it means that Allah can't do it. So Allah is saying, no, this is very easy for me and I can do it. So those who reject this message, so you have a message and you have a stubborn mind. A stubborn, rejecting mind. And what do we want to do? Allah wants to push this message into this stubborn, hard mind, rejecting mind. This is what Allah wants to do, is to push the message down into this mind. To treat two kind of people. Number one, those people who have explicit denial, who say, no, there is no day of judgment. And to treat other kind of peoples as well, other kind of people which are us, which we do believe and say there is a day of judgment, but we are living in a state of mind of forgetfulness of the day of judgment, which is called ghafla, forgetfulness of Allah and forgetfulness of the day of judgment. And we are planning our activities, making our decisions, and setting up our views of life based on materialism. So we measure success based on how much money, for example, we make. Or we measure success based on how big is the house, or how good is the car, or, you know, how rich or poor are we, or how comfortable are we. We are setting up our criteria as though there is no day of judgment. Because if there is a day of judgment, our criteria should be of success, should be what are we doing to make us successful in the day of judgment. Not what are we doing to make more money. What are we doing to be more successful in the day of judgment. This should be the criteria of evaluation. And as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah gives life to whomsoever he loves and whomsoever to he hates. So both that Allah love and that Allah hate, get this life. You know, there are people who are very bad and very rich. The Pharaoh, for example. The Pharaoh, he was like a king, and he has all the money and fame and power that you can ever think of. Did Allah love the Pharaoh? No, but he gave it to him. So it means that the criteria of evaluation is not materialistic. Then the Prophet continued to say, but Allah gives Islam, or the religion of Islam, the good practice of religion of Islam, to whomsoever he loves only. So that should be the criteria of evaluation. Those who are more devoted to Allah, more dedicated to the worship of Allah, performing well into da'wah and into the service of Allah, sacrificing for Islam, standing up for Islam, those are the ones that Allah loves, whether they are poor or rich, not measured by money or by materialism. So by falling into that state of mind of forgetfulness of Allah and the day of judgment, our views will change, our criteria of success will change. And this is exactly what is happening to us. So this surah comes, the sound of hammer is like, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. So the sound of hammer works on both. Those who deny the message, it hammers the message into their stubborn head with a hammer. Boom, boom, boom. Boom. And those who are in state of forgetfulness of Allah, we are sleeping and forgetting about the day of judgment, like, wake wake up. So works both ways. Another reason for having such a drum kind of rhythm coming with the surah is that the surah talks about very, very thrilling situations. Very, very scary, thrilling situations. A lot of suspense on the surah. Why? Because the surah gets a snapshot from the life of those people who deny the Day of Judgment. Then, the second video clip is a snapshot from their death. The drowsiness of death is here. And they are dying. It's just a lot of suspense. Boom, boom. With the suspense comes the sound of the drum. Boom, boom. They are dying now. The drowsiness of death is here. Boom, boom, boom. And then, the Day of Judgment comes. And then the Day of Judgment, and they are standing before Allah. Now they have been denying and fighting Islam. And they have been working against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and working against Islam. Now they are standing for judgment. Guess what is going to happen to them? And they are arguing, trying to defend their case using all kinds of false and deceiving arguments before Allah. And the suspense comes. And then the judgment from Allah comes at the end that throw them in hellfire. And then as soon as Allah says, throw them in hellfire, you know, thousands of angels will attack them and chain them and drag them to hellfire. So this all comes, these video clips come with the sound of the drum that represents the suspense that exists in the surah. So this sound is really, you look at the surah from different views, you find that this sound is the perfect sound to come in this surah. And this is all over the surah. Shaheed, Qa'id, Majid, Atid, Tahid, Id. Now, this is from a musical point of view. Let's start with the surah and see. The surah starts by the letter Qaf. Allah says, swearing by the letter Qaf. And then immediately after swearing by these letters, in all surahs on the Quran where Allah swears by all these separate letters, the very next verse talks about what? Quran. The very next verse talks about Quran with the exception of three surahs. The first one is Surah Ar-Rum. The second one is Surah Al-Ankabut. And the third one is Surah Maryam. Those are the three surahs that start with separate letters and the next ayah doesn't talk about Quran. All remaining surahs of the Quran that start with separate letters, they talk about Quran immediately afterwards. So after that, Allah is saying, "Wal Qur'an al-Majid," and I swear by the Quran, the al-Majid, the generous Quran, the excessively or the supreme, infinitely generous Quran. Infinitely, Majid means infinite generosity. I swear by the Quran that has infinite generosity. And you notice that the surah starts with Quran, Qaf, wal Qur'an al-Majid, in the very beginning. And in the very end, the surah closes. The closing ayah of the surah is also with the Quran. Allah says in the very last statement, تَذَكِّرْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَنْ يَخَافُ وَعِيدٍ. Remind, use this Quran to remind the ones who are afraid of my punishment in the Day of Judgment. Who are afraid of meeting me because they are afraid of my judgment and accountability and punishment. So use this Quran to remind them and to inspire them and to move their hearts. So the surah starts with Quran and ends with Quran. In between, the surah is addressing this whole main subject, those who find it hard to believe that there is going to be another assembly and recollection and resurrection and judgment. So Allah immediately hit on them in the second ayah. بَلْ عَجِبُوا أَنْ جَاءَهُمْ مُنْذِرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَقَالَ الْكَافِرُونَ هَذَا شَيْءٌ عَجِيبٌ. They are wondering about that Allah has sent from among them a person like them from their tribe, from their hometown, from their city, was sent to warn them. And they said, this is odd and this is strange. This is too far, this is too remote, this is unbelievable. We can't believe that, we can't accept that. هذا شيء عجيب. Too strange, something that we are not accepting. And what is it that we are not accepting in particular? The third verse is, أَإِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا ذَلِكَ رَجْعٌ بَعِيدٌ. After we die, and we disintegrate, and we become a dust, and the earth eats our body, we are going to be resurrected again. Our bodies are going to be rebuilt again? Oh, this is too far. This is too remote. This is unbelievable. Now, question. Did they hate Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of his personality or because of the package of Islam that he brought? Huh? Now, before he brought the package of Islam, what did they use to think of him? As-Sadiq al-Amin. The most honest and the most trustworthy, right? That's what they used to say about him. And suddenly, this As-Sadiq al-Amin became what? The liar, the person with the black magic, the deceiver, the aggressor, the vicious, the blah blah blah. He got all titles you can ever think of. And the question is, why did they have a problem with him? It's because of the package of Islam that has a conflict of interest with them. They have a conflict of interest with Islam. Because Islam ordained justice, and every one of them used to be a small god in his own territory. And he used to be, you know, has slave men, slave women, and they used to do whatever they want without worrying about any kind of accountability or judgment. Now Islam comes to say justice. And they used to own all money and wealth. Equality, that your slaves are, might be better than you in the eyes of Allah. And all of these things that they absolutely rejected. Also, Islam came to say destruction of the idols. Now, this idol, these idols used to bring a lot of business to the people of Mecca. Extremely, extremely, you know, rewarding business. Why? Because all the Arabian tribes used to do pilgrimage to their own idols in the Kaaba. And when they come to do pilgrimage, they bring with them a lot of business. So they used to be very, very rich because of this business. So now Muhammad wants to destroy these idols. They are worried about the business. So worried about the business that they're going to lose, which is wealth. Worried about power. That now, instead of them having the upper word, now God will have the upper word through His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And instead of them doing whatever they want, and having all power, now Muhammad is going to take this power away from their hand and speak on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and rule over them instead of them ruling over him. They have now to listen. So they had a conflict of interest. So this is why they rejected the message. But as usual, are they going to say, we are rejecting the message because, you know, because we have a conflict of interest with it? Are they going to say that? No. They are going to make up a what? Silly, ridiculous argument or phony argument. Phony, silly, ridiculous argument. So they kept thinking. They said, what is their argument? They said, this is impossible to happen. This can't happen. When we die and we disintegrate, okay, it is impossible that our body will be rebuilt again. That doesn't happen. We have never seen this happening in the past. Okay? And they used to stir the Prophet. You telling us that our forefathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers are all going to be, you know, resurrected altogether? We have never seen that. We can't comprehend that. They were picking up on this to make an issue out of it. But was it the real reason? No. That wasn't the real reason. The real reason is that the conflict of interest that they had with Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, saying, why this is impossible? You think that I can't do it? This is too hard for me? You know? If you think this is too hard for me, then look around you. Who constructed you? Who created you and built this whole entire universe the first time? I did. So why do you think it's hard for me to redo it again? Very simple. If I have shown you that I have done it before, we actually, logically speaking, using our own logic, if I can do something for the first time, then is it easier or harder to do it for the second time? Easier to do it for the second time, right? So, actually, first time and second time are equally easy for Allah. But using our own human logic, second time is easier than the first time. So why do you think that it's hard for me to do it the second time? Actually, the first time I did it from scratch, the second time, at least I had a previous example. Or at least I have your own seeds that is left from your body. Your own parts of the body that carries your own DNA that is going to regenerate you again. You know what I'm saying? So it's actually easier the second time than it is the first time. So basically this is a silly, ridiculous, phony reason that you are using to deny the message and to confuse the people and turn them away from the message. Because you don't want to say the truth, that you have a conflict of interest with the message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reply to this argument that when we die and disintegrate, it's hard to come back again. Allah reply is in verse 4. Allah says, actually, we know how much the earth is eating out of each one of them. And this is very interesting because it's a scientific miracle. Because modern science tells us that 50 million cells of our body goes to earth. Do you remember why? From 2-3 lectures ago. Why do we lose 50 million cells of our body? Huh? Yes, sister. To stay young. That's right. If we don't lose the 50 million cells of our body every day, we will age in no time. We will become very old people in about few days. So these 50 million cells that are being lost and replaced keep us young and keep us good looking, right? Especially in the face, you know, and all of that. So Allah is saying in this verse, actually, I know how much the earth is eating out of every one of them every day. Not only that I know it, but also it is recorded in Kitabun Hafiz. A very, very good, a very, very accurate book. Very, very accurate book, which I call the very, very comprehensive, accurate database that Allah has. Every cell, so detailed, every cell, where did it come from? Where is it going to? What job was it doing? What's going to happen to it afterwards? All these details are in the knowledge of Allah, which is this book, represented by this book. Very, very accurate book that knows the details of everything in this universe. So Allah says, I know this. This is how powerful I am. This is how great I am. This is how able I am. I know these, how much the earth is eating out of your body every day. And I have it recorded in a book. So you think that I will not be able to gather your bodies again? If I know where is every cell, then I will order every cell to come back to its own place. And then I will rebuild your bodies again. وَعِنْدَنَا كِتَابٌ حَفِيظٌ. Now, then Allah stated, what is the problem? بَلْ كَذَّبُوا بِالْحَقِّ لَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ فَهُمْ فِي أَمْرٍ مَرِيجٍ. They have denied the truth when it came to them. And as a result of denying the truth, they became what? Confused. They became what? Confused. And this is a fact of life. Those who deny the truth, they must end up confused. Why? Because when you reject the truth, why do you end up confused? Because you have to accept the what? Falsehood. When you reject the truth, you have to accept what? Falsehood. And when you accept falsehood, falsehood is illogical. It doesn't stand as a logical thing. So you end up confused. For example, I'll give you an example. Do you remember that conference that the people had a few years ago where they gathered, they spent about $1 million on this conference. They gathered people from all faiths, from all cultures, all over the world. And the topic of the conference was to study, is there going to be another life after death? Yes or no? You know what was the conclusion of the conference? They ended up more confused than they started. Okay, because they could not prove it, you know, materialistically, they could not prove it. At the same time, it doesn't make sense that there will be no other life. If there's no other life, it means that the worst criminal on earth, such as, for example, Hitler, is going to equal to the most righteous person on earth. Because both of them are dead, 6 foot under the earth, sleeping peacefully in their graves. If this is the end, it's unfair. There has to be another day where the worst criminal on the face of the earth will be resurrected and punished severely for his crimes, and the best righteous man on the face of the earth will be resurrected and rewarded generously for his sacrifices or her sacrifices. You know? So, it doesn't stand logical to say death is the end. And even the people who say, and I've run through these discussions many times with atheist people, they say there is no God. They fail to explain who created this universe. They fail to explain how come a ship can't sail from India to New York, arrive on the appointed time, without crew and without a captain, okay? While the moon is sailing and swimming all over the universe, without a crew and without a captain. They fail to explain that. They fail to explain how come we have in our galaxy 2 billion stars like the sun, and we have so far discovered 100,000 million galaxies. Each one of them is probably having 2 billion stars just like our own sun. They fail to explain where did we come from. They came up with all kind of confusing theories like Darwin. Darwin started making up theories. We were monkeys and we evolved from monkeys. And all of this garbage. They tried to evade. And yes, he is a monkey but not us. Huh? And who made the monkeys? It said lower, they use that. They say a lower level creature. So we are high level creatures. We came from a lower level creature, which is a monkey. And the monkey came from a lower level creature, which is something lower than the monkey. And that something lower than the monkey came from something lower and lower and lower. So originally we started as a very primitive cell. And this cell evolved with time until it made a human being. Crap. This is nothing but crap. Okay? And okay, this is us. How about the universe? They say the universe never started. Never created. Why never created? Say the universe was always there and he will always be there, and there's no creation because the universe was never, you know, was never non-existing. They say the universe was never non-existing. The universe was always existing. So, there was no creator because the universe never needed to be created because it was always there and it will always be there. Okay. Modern science comes to prove that this is a fallacy. Why? Because the theory of Big Bang proves that the movement and the expansion of the universe, that this universe at one point of time was all concentrated in a very small mass. And that was the beginning of time. Because with the expansion rate, you calculate backward, you see that this all volume of universe must have been a point at the beginning. And even, it has to start from zero. So zero, and then, you know, the circle will start as a dot, and then grow, the radius will grow, and the circle will grow bigger. So using math, this universe must have been a point at the beginning. And this point started to expand, making a bigger and bigger and bigger sphere or circle. Okay? In space, it's a sphere. Got it? So modern science itself proves that this universe has a certain age. And they have calculated the age of the Earth. So that proves that their statement that the Earth never existed and doesn't need to be created is a fallacy. So they end up confused, just like what Allah exactly said in verse number 5. When you deny the truth, you will end up what? Confused. And this is what they happened to them. Because they try to come up with all these explanations that doesn't make any sense. Why? To back up the falsehood or to back up the false statement. And they will end up conflicting and contradicting their own selves. Okay? But if they admit to the truth, everything will fit together beautifully. You know? Everything easy. Allah created Adam and Eve and created the earth. Everything will fit together in a beautiful way. Now, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after that, started talking about, you know, His creation. Then Allah started saying, don't they look at the skies before them? How did we build it? And how do you beautify it? And how we made it intact. And we made no holes or no cracks in it. And this modern science proves that the sky is tight. You know, if you send a beam of light, after a certain time it has to reflect and come back because the sky has a boundary, has a real boundary that you cannot penetrate, you cannot break through. And even the Prophet Muhammad says that when the soul goes to Allah, as soon as you reach to the end of the first heaven, they have to seek permission for the doors of between first heaven and second heaven to open. Then when these doors open, they go to the second heaven, which is compatible with what Allah says here, that the sun, the sky has a boundary, and through this boundary you cannot go through, which is compatible with modern science that says that if you send a beam of light, it has to reflect on this boundary and come back to earth. So Allah is pulling our attention to read His created book, the book of nature. the universe, the book of the universe. And then Allah says, look up, you see what? Skies. And look down, you see what? Earth. Look, now we look up, we saw the skies, and we made a statement. Allah made a statement about the miracles in the skies. Now look down to the earth. What do you see when you look at the earth? In verse 7, and the earth, we made it, we extended it, we gave it endless extension. And the only way to have endless extension is if you are going on a what? Round, sphere. Because any flat extension is going to end at one point. But the only way you have endless extension is if you're working on what? A ball, a circle, a sphere, an egg, round shape. We have made it endless extension, and we have put on it mountains to stabilize it. No, this is not this ayah. This ayah is وَالْقَيْنَا فِيهَا رَوَاسِيَةً. We put mountains on it to stabilize the earth crust. According to the theory of tectonic plates of modern science says that the role of the mountains is to stabilize the earth crust. If we don't have mountains, the earth crust would continuously shake and we would have a continuous endless earthquake. Okay? Because of the earth mantle is like a liquid lava boiling and rotating like this. Just like, what happens if you put a piece of paper on water? What happens? It floats and what? And shakes. This is exactly the earth crust if you don't have the mountains. But the mountains will make it stable. So again, Allah is inviting us to look at His power, His creation. Read this book. Who did all of that? And we have made the earth produce fruits. The dust and the dirt. The dust and the dirt. You give it what? You give it, you know, the bad material that comes out of the out number two of the cows. You put number two of the cows on earth with water, and it gives you mangoes, it gives you apples, tomatoes, cucumber, you know, all of these. So who made this dirty earth produce such beautiful, sweet, and non-sweet, you know, fruits and vegetables? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is inviting us to look and think. And then Allah is inviting us to look at the heaven, raining water, in verse number 9. I send blessed water from heaven. And using this blessed water, we have made the earth produce gardens and produce ears and wheat. You know, two kind of plants. Number one, fruits. Number two, things that bear ears, like the grains. وَحَبَّ الْحَصِيدِ. And then Allah moves, says, look at the picture of the palm tree. Look at the picture of the palm tree. The green leaves of the palm tree is like the hair. And the dates coming out of the palm tree is like a shiny earrings. So very beautiful picture. Beautiful green hair. You know, red shiny earrings. It's very impressive picture when you look at it. So Allah is saying, look at this picture. Who is the artist who designed this picture? Who built this picture? And it's not only a picture, but also it's a real life model that you can eat from it. It's a real palm tree. If you try to build a model for a palm tree out of plastic or clay, okay, it's beautiful, yeah, but if you try to eat it, it doesn't give you fruit. The one that gives you fruit is the real palm tree. And then Allah says, sustenance, verse 11, all of that is sustenance to my people so that they can eat. And it is an example for you, how am I going to be resurrecting you? The parallel is clear, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us in the hadith, that in the day of judgment, Allah will send rain when Allah wants to bring back the life again for judgment. Allah will send blessed rain from heaven that is going to go on earth. And as a result of this blessed rain going on earth, we are going to grow out of earth like trees. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, after the angel Israfil blows in the trumpet the second time, not the first time. The first time everything will be destroyed. The second time everything will be rebuilt again. Allah will send this blessed rain on earth and we will grow out of our graves again. Just like trees grow out. You know? And Allah... Huh? Yes, just the people. People will grow. people and animals and living beings will grow out of the earth. And this is why Allah says, from the earth we created you, منها خلقناكم وفيها نعيدكم ومنها نخرجكم طارة أخرى. From the earth we have created you. From the earth we will send you back when you die. And from the earth you will be resurrected again. Grow out of the earth again. I would assume that it's going to be the same shape, which is round. But there's nothing that says that. But I would assume the same shape. Allah knows what was going to be the next creation like. Could be something else. But Allah knows better. But what we know is the teaching in this ayah, and in the teaching which is very compatible with the hadith of Prophet Muhammad, that we will go out of the earth after Allah sends the blessed rain in the day of judgment. All of those people, their cells are going to be rebuilt again. Just like the people of hellfire, when their flesh burns, Allah replaces them with a new flesh. So all of that is going to come back again, alive. And then we will conclude here with that, the statement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that, hey, they are not the first one that deny the message, Muhammad. Before them, so many other nations denied the message and I destroyed them because they have denied the message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, before them, the people of Nuh, Noah, Ashab al-Ras, Thamud, Ad, Fir'aun, the Pharaoh, Ikhwanu Lut, wa Ashab al-Aikah, wa Qawm Tubba, all of these generations, كَذَّبُ الرُّسُلُ, they denied the message and they rejected the message, and the punishment came to them, فَحَقَّ وَعِيدٍ, because they denied the message. What is next after denying the message in a stubborn way and rejecting the messengers who came to them? Second step is destruction. Because once you receive the messenger and deny it, then the next step is reduction, is destruction. And then we will end here, and this will represent the end of the first paragraph where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us video clips from this life, showing the conditions of the non-believers and showing the created book, the universe, the book of nature. Allah is inviting us to read from this book and think about His power and ability and greatness so that we recognize Him through that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to move into the historical statements, which are, you know, those historical people from the history, they have denied the message and they were destroyed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to move into a totally different direction that we will start with next time, inshallah. May Allah bless you. Any questions? Yes. There's a hadith that says from the area of Sham, that the Day of Judgment is going to be around Palestine and Sham area. No, this is the place of gathering all the people. There's one hadith that says that. Yes, and this is why it's called it Hashr. Hashr means what? They're extremely crowded place. Extremely, extremely crowded place. Even worse than when you go for pilgrimage to Mecca, you see the mosque takes 2.5 million people and you have 5 million people trying, you're trying to fit 5 million people in the place of 2.5 million people. So what do you end up with? Hash. Hash. Yes, it's like hash. It's like you're trying to push a bigger volume in a smaller gap. This is called hash. When you try to push a bigger volume in a smaller gap, it's called hash. And this is the day of Hash, where the gap that is designed to accommodate humans is smaller than the volume, the total volume of humans. So they are stuck with each other, pushing against each other, and can't move, and can't breathe, and all of these things. All the day of judgment, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls people for judgment, people are going to stay there for a long time. And then they are going to send the delegations to Allah to start the judgment. They are going to go to Adam. Adam will go to, will say, no, I can't do it. I disobeyed Allah. Then they are going to go to Noah. Noah will say, I made prayers again for Allah to destroy my own people. I don't want to do it. They will go to, you know, all the prophets until Prophet Ibrahim. He said, I lied when I pointed that the big idol did it. So I can't meet Allah. And they will keep going until they go to Prophet Jesus. He says, why are you coming to me and you have Muhammad? And Allah has given him al-wasila. Remember when we pray, we say, Ati Muhammadan al-wasila tawal-fadila. This is a rank, special rank in the Day of Judgment, where he is going to be the only human that can intercede before Allah, requesting the Day of Judgment to start. Actually requesting the judgment to start, not the Day of Judgment, the judgment. Because people over there, they wish that they go to hellfire and just move anywhere, just go to the next step. They are so sick and tired of waiting. Because Allah will be very angry at the beginning and Allah will refuse to start the judgment. And will keep people waiting for very, very long time until they wish they just go to hellfire. But just let's move on. So it's going to be a very long time. How long? Allah knows better. Groups. As-sabiqoon, as-sabiqoon. Groups. There is the first. One, yes, one at a time. Allah will judge all people together, one at a time. You know, because you say, how can Allah judge me and judge you at the same time? It's the power of Allah. But you are being judged by Allah and you think that Allah is not talking to anybody except you. And I will be judged by Allah at the same time thinking that Allah is talking to nobody except me. How? Just like Allah now is watching you and me together. How? Subhanallah, you know, you can never know. But people go to Jannah in groups. And the first group is the most excellent group. And then the second group is less, and so forth. The door. No, the group, the door of Jannah will be opened first to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then after that it doesn't close. Even when everyone is admitted to the Jannah, the doors of Jannah are not closed; they are open. But who's stupid enough to leave? Nobody wants to leave. So Allah says, "The Jannah is so sweet that I will not close the doors. No one wants to leave; the doors are open. But the doors of Hellfire are the ones that are closed very tightly and locked." They will have a mountain between them called the Mountain of Al-A'raf, named after the Surah of Al-A'raf, named after this mountain, because it is described in the in Surah Al-A'raf. Yes, there will be. Yes, and see them too. And one of the pleasures of the people of heaven, when they look at hellfire, they see that Allah has saved them from this punishment, so they feel more happy. And one of the punishment of the people of hellfire, when they look at heaven and they see that they could have been there, they feel very sorry and very miserable. Again? Can you explain it in Arabic? Yes. The punishment of the people who get 50% score, means equal good deeds and bad deeds, is mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf. They wait on the Mountain of Al-A'raf, which is between hellfire and heaven. And they wait until the end of the Day of the Judgment. 50, like Allah said, 50,000 years. In Surah Al-Haqqa, Allah said, the Day of Judgment is 50,000 years. So the punishment is that they wait on this mountain 50,000 years. Until the end of the Day of Judgment, and then Allah forgives them and sends them to Jannah. Okay. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Assalamu alaikum.
Do you take any class at 3 o'clock?
Yes, I take the Quran class.
No, you're taking class. Yeah, I'm looking for coverage for next week. I don't know if I'll be here or not.
I see. So did you talk to Brother Ali Al-Hay?
Yeah, he said he also takes a class.
Is it a Quran class or explanation class?
It's like a basic class.
Alif Ba Ta Fa. Try sister. Did you try Sister Zainab or is she taking a class?
You want to see the presentation?
Yes. I'll see you when you go home. Thank you.
محمد عامل صوته كأنه شيخ.